Pastors Larry and Tiz Huck welcome you to this weekly Torah study from New Beginnings Church in Bedford, Texas, taught by Pastor Scott Sigmund. We pray this message will help you better understand how God's Old Testament wisdom and New Testament revelation are meant to jointly fit together.
Today, our Torah study takes us into Leviticus 12 and 13, and I've put together notes and a message that we're calling Change Your Words, Change Your Life. Change Your Words, Change Your Life. How many of you were here last week? We learned last week that what God does in the physical, there's always a spiritual application. And so why are you guys studying all that Old Testament stuff? Because everything that God wrote in the Old Testament has a spiritual principle and application. It's the wisdom of God. We don't study to show ourselves approved and in some way use that to prove that we're worthy to enter into the kingdom of heaven and enter into eternity. Eternal life is by grace through faith, isn't it? You can pray a prayer as a thief on the cross. And today, if you confess faith, today you will be with me in paradise. Nothing the thief on the cross could have ever done. Yet we're sometimes Christians are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. And so it is with the difference between eternal life and abundant life. And so God gives us teachings in the Old Testament, the New Testament, better served as the First Testament and Second Testament, in order that we would wise up. Hello, McFly. And so today's lesson is kind of an add-on to last week where we talked about the kosher life, that eating kosher is symbolic of living kosher, living a proper and fit and righteous life. And so today in this study, it carries on in a teaching on the laws of physical purity, the laws of purification. And it's all meant in a physical realm to point us to some spiritual lessons, right? And so how we would view cleansing and purity and going into the mikvah and doing all the things physically symbolic of a cleansing and a purifying, all of that still applies today in that God wants us to have a pure heart and live a life of purity. And so he gives us some key examples in Leviticus 12 and 13 today. And it begins by speaking about the woman who gives birth, who afterwards needs to go through a process of purification. And all of that included immersing in the baptismal, the mikvah, and then bringing certain offerings to the temple. All of that was God's instructions on how to be pure in his sight. Amen. So one man's idea, it was God's idea. It was God's instruction. And let me say just something about instruction in a general way. Usually the blessing of God in your life is preceded by you following one of God's instructions. So the instruction comes and the obedience to the instruction comes before the blessing. Amen. So anyways, it also, this section of Torah includes teaching and instructions on how all male infants were to be circumcised on the eighth day of life. And these guidelines what we might call Orthodox Jewish teachings, incredibly and importantly were followed precisely by Mary and Joseph following the birth of Jesus. And you can, I wish we had time to read all of that out of Luke chapter 2, but in Luke chapter 2, it describes how Mary and Joseph went through the laws of purification, Mary did, and then Jesus was in the temple and circumcised on the eighth day. So they're obeying Torah. And out of following God's instructions always comes a blessing. Now, here's where it gets interesting, at least to me. I hope it's interesting to you, is that following this series of teachings on purification, again in Leviticus 12, the Lord immediately pivots from this teaching on purification and all the guidelines to focusing on skin blemishes. Something that in Hebrew is called tazarat. It's often translated in our Bibles leprosy. And the great sages throughout Jewish history have continued to teach on why does God connect these two subjects? They seem to be totally unrelated. And yet there are some deeper truths that we're going to explore this morning that shows us how these laws of purification relate to this teaching on tazarat or leprosy. And obviously, in just 40 minutes, we can't get into everything. But Leviticus 12:2 gives us a huge clue where both the Hebrew Bible and the Christian Bible both teach that God says to Moses, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived a seed. And so it's this word seed that Jewish scholars have derived one of God's great spiritual principles, that the act of giving birth, the process of purification and how it overcomes an impure and unclean condition is connected to the laws of tazarat, the laws of leprosy. And the teaching goes that the leprosy, this sickness, this disorder that affects the human skin, it even affects the fabric of people's garments. And if it's left unchecked, it will affect the walls of the house, the foundations of the person's house. All of this is a disorder in rabbinical teaching, but it's not due to an illness. It's viewed as a punishment for speaking the sin of Lashon Hara, the evil speech. And so this is an amazing teaching, is that God wants us to have a pure heart. He wants us to live a pure life. And having a pure heart and living a pure life has a lot to do with our speech. And so what we need to understand is that why it's connected to the birthing process and the giving of life is that God is teaching us your words give birth to things. Your words bring life to things. Or, in this case, it brings death in the form of a skin disorder that we equate to leprosy. And so our words have to be seen, and this isn't teaching that's done in every church, right? Not every church is going to teach that your words are spiritual seeds. And they're going to give birth to things. They're going to create circumstances in our lives. And our prayer is, our hope is, that we're teaching and training the members of New Beginnings family that you need to be on the right side of that principle. That I need to be cognizant of my words have power. My words create. My words give birth to things. And they can either bring healing and blessing, or they can bring harm and destruction. How many of you like the idea of healing and blessing? I see all your hands. Amen. And so, not only in this Torah study, but the entire Bible, and we'll get into some of this in a few minutes, places great emphasis on speaking words that bring edification and encouragement. Go with me to Ephesians 4:29. I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. This is just but one of many examples. Ephesians 4:29 out of the Amplified says, "Do not let unwholesome words, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good for the building up of others, according to the need and the occasion, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear you speak." Amen. Change your words, change your life. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up in a family where we knew none of this. And I grew up from a very early age constantly being criticized. I don't know if you can relate to that in your childhood. But you just, if you pour out of your mouth, even as a Christian, this works for good or for bad, for positive or for negative. If you're constantly a critic to your family, your kids, your grandkids, to like even today, there's going to be people sitting in church today that will have an ongoing argument with the pastor in their minds, fighting the pastor off with, and that's just the way that they live. And they probably don't even recognize consciously what they're doing in the spiritual realm is repelling the words of God. And there's consequences for that. And we're not trained to connect the dots. God says, don't let unwholesome, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words come out of your mouth, ever. Now, I'm a work in progress. Amen. We all are. The only time I saw this week how I can walk on water. I found the secret to walking on water. You get Costco size cases of bottled water and put them next to one another, and then you walk on water. And okay, I can walk on water. So this is a principle that's derived out of Leviticus and the laws of purification. In the physical realm, God was establishing a foundation that pointed to a spiritual application. Everything that God does has two parts, the physical and the spiritual. And in this case, he links in this teaching the purification of a woman, the purification of a family is connected to the laws of leprosy. And leprosy, tazarat, isn't seen as an illness. It's seen as a punishment. And this goes a long ways to explaining why bad things happen to good people. You're a good person. You're trying to live a righteous, godly, moral, biblical, holy life. And yet, if we ignore, neglect, or we're unaware of one of God's principles, and that is absent in our lives, I didn't see the speed limit sign, officer. Well, God will be gracious, but at some point, all of that adds up, and the scales of justice finally are tipped in, not for you, but against you, because you're not learning enough lessons. There's nothing I have to do, Pastor Scott. No, you need to learn these lessons. Amen. And look, you can't attribute every single negative circumstance to a negative word that you spoke. This is really something that happens over the course of time. It's something that you have a habit of doing. It's a habitual thing that we're talking about. But nonetheless, it's a principle from the Lord that is active to this very day. So we need to be on our guard and learn to watch our words. Amen? And especially in the area of gossip. Did you hear? Social media, texting, just the general culture in the world today is one of gossip, of gotcha, and it's not a very kind and gracious society right now. And we talked about the idea of criticism. We need to be on our guard that we're not the chief critic. Amen. I'm in a ministry, Pastor Scott. I'm in the rock throwing ministry. But just speaking pessimistically and always popping off with sideways comments, that's not a good thing. There needs to be course correction because your words create. And this type of ongoing speech ends up creating a cynical, scornful, negative atmosphere. Not only for you, but those around you. Uh-oh, here he comes. And it affects your life and it affects those around you. The sages go to great lengths in teaching on how serious this is. And in fact, through the centuries, the great Jewish sages teach that Lashon Hara, the evil speech, gossip, slander, character assassination, is worse than idol worship, bloodshed and illicit sexual relations combined together. Whoever speaks with an evil tongue, they say, is as if he deny God. They say it's forbidden to dwell in the vicinity of any of those who speak with an evil tongue. And all the more to sit with them and listen to their words. So watch how this works. When God created man, he breathed what? The breath of life into him. Go over to Genesis 2:7. That's where this comes up. This is part of the creation narrative. And it says in Genesis 2:7, Almighty God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. How many of your Bibles say a living soul? In the Hebrew Bible, it can be translated a speaking spirit. God breathed his breath of life into man, and man became a speaking spirit. So we see we have a very special gift that we've been given from the Lord, in that we have, amongst all of God's creation, you and I have the unique ability to speak, unless you're a parrot. And so what's the lesson to be learned there? As a speaking spirit, just like God, your words have power. Power to create. Let there be light. And God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. And in the same way, now that you're a speaking spirit created in the image and likeness of God, and Scott said, and Scott said, and Scott said, and Scott said, and over time, you build a spirit in your mind, a spirit of faith, a spirit of optimism, a spirit that God is always working behind the scenes to turn situations upside down, or on the flip side, woe is me and woe is anyone that gets around me. Amen. In the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4, Jesus teaches on this very concept. Look at Mark 4:14. In Mark 4:14, in explaining the parable of the sower, Jesus says the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. Jesus is establishing right here that our words are seeds. And the thing about seeds is that seeds will grow, right? And God wants our seeds, our words, to one day produce, to sprout, to blossom, to bring a harvest of blessing, a harvest of healing, a harvest of wisdom, a harvest of joy, a harvest of peace, a harvest of love. All of these positive things are part of the kingdom of heaven, but they don't come automatically. They come because a man, Jesus says in this, it's as a man plants. The whole kingdom of God works under the seed sowing principle. Amen. That's why it's been said, if you're saying it, you're praying it. If you're saying it, you're praying it. Praise God. Are we okay? Can you say amen? Amen? We're all reassessing how we've been doing. Let's have the Lord bring in your tape recordings from the last 48 hours and let's see how you're doing. Pop quiz. How you doing, Scott? Well, hopefully I'm doing good. I'm sure there's still some things that need correction. So this concept of your words or seeds comes up again and again and again in the Bible. Go with me to Hebrews 11, the chapter of faith, the hall of faith, Hebrews 11. And in Hebrews 11, verse 3, God teaches us, it's by faith that we understand the universe was created by God's word. So that what can be seen was made out of what cannot be seen. Now this gets into a whole aspect of teaching we don't have time to touch on, but it's essentially we're being taught here that you can create your world through your words. Now, obviously, you can't sit in a chair for the rest of your life and just speak, and then your words need corresponding actions, right? Every blessing of God is usually preceded by someone following an instruction from God. So, in this case, God establishes a key principle for believers, for Christians. Whether you're Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, Catholic, a believer, and even an unbeliever can take advantage of these principles. You can be on the right side or the wrong side. At creation, God created the world through the spoken word, right? And since we are created in his image and likeness, we have a similar creative power, the power of our words. Now, most of us, if you've been around Pastor Larry and Tiz for any length of time, you understand the teaching out of Proverbs 18:21. In Proverbs 18:21, one of the more famous scriptures on the power of our words says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it and indulge in it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words." Bear the consequences of their words. Now notice in this scripture, God places the word death first. Death and life. A lot of times, life and death are in the power of the, but God purposely puts death and life are in the power of the tongue to show us that our default mechanism as human beings is to always speak negative words first. We always end up speaking harmful words, poisonous words, detrimental words, critical words before we get to any kind of encouraging word. It's what just in the natural human nature we gravitate towards. In the Good News translation, Proverbs 18:21 says, "What you say can preserve life or destroy it." So you must accept the consequences of your words. So the point of this lesson is to wake ourselves up that words have creative power. It's not like you say one word and instantly, poof, there it is. But habitually, consistently, over time, we create a spirit in our minds. Here's my grandson, little three-year-old grandson. Right now, he's in genius mode. Every child is born a genius. And by the age 6 or 7, we've made sure we knock that genius part out of him because we're criticizing and yelling and screaming and throwing fits as parents and teachers. And we drive out the genius quality, suppress what God has in them. And through criticism and detrimental words, we kill what God had already planned. And how can I say that? Because I lived it. I lived in a household where I was criticized every day of my life. I wasn't good enough. I wasn't this enough. I wasn't that enough. And I grew up with that mindset. And now at 30 years old, this is back in the 80s, man, I'm a wrecked and ruined man. I got no destiny. I got no future. I got no prospects. And then I heard the message of the gospel. And I heard that there's a gracious Father who has a destiny for my life. And that if I'll serve him and live for him and learn his divine principles, he'll go about the process of renewing my mind. He's not going to be able to go back and erase the past, but he can go back and have me think differently about that, where I'm not chained to my past, vexed by my past. The past is the past. I'm not focused on the past anymore. God loved my parents. They did the best they could. I'm focused on the future. Everything that God has for you is in the future. So stop living life in the rearview mirror. and stop using words that bring destruction to what God wants to do in the future. Wake up, church. Your words are creative. Your words have power. Your tongue will guide you to the blessing or the curse. Read James chapter 3. The tongue is like the rudder of a ship. It steers you either into the harbor of blessing or the harbor of cursing. Why do bad things happen to good people? A lot of times you can trace it back to the power of their words. They went to church, they loved the Lord, they praised the Lord, and yet they didn't have a pastor who would teach them divine principles. It's like what Broderick was saying last, Broderick the Entertainer. Remember when he was talking about how the pastor got up and for however long of a time, he never said nothing. That was so funny. Never said nothing. So God wants us to understand that the power of speech can either bring healing or harm. And so one of the aspects of fulfilling your divine destiny and your divine purpose is how you talk about yourself. Okay? A lot of times we end up talking about ourselves the way people spoke over us from a very early age. And sometimes that's awesome. But if you grew up in a household in an environment like mine, it wasn't so awesome. And so there's things to overcome. There's a spirit of the mind that needs to take place. Father, renew my mind so I don't keep criticizing myself and blocking the blessing of God. A lot of times it's not the devil that's creating that containment and those limitations. A lot of the things are self-inflicted things. But God can erase all of that starting today. Now, all of you are walking on water, on Costco water. But you know somebody that needs a miracle breakthrough. Stop confessing sickness and disease. It's flu season. No, it's health and healing season in the name and by the blood. Amen. Another damaging aspect of Lashon Hara is that we sway neutral situations and turn them into negative ones. It's the concept that everybody spiritually is carrying two buckets. One is a bucket of water and the other is a bucket of gasoline. And a situation comes up, maybe through no fault of your own, but it's potentially a troubling or difficult, challenging, dangerous, harmful situation comes up, and you got one of two buckets. Are you going to be the one that throws the bucket of water and puts out the fire by the power of your creative words? Or are you going to take the bucket of gasoline and throw that on and watch that thing just explode? This is James 3 again. The tongue is like a wildfire. It will set the course of your life on fire, Pastor James says. So, in Jewish thought, the world that God created is not so clear-cut on everything. Everything isn't settled. Just because something happens in your life doesn't mean that settles it. Oh, I got a legal report. Oh, I got a financial report. Oh, I got a medical report. That's not the final word. God's given you the power to come into agreement with His word and make that the final word. Whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. See, many of the circumstances and challenges we face are subject to interpretation. And a lot of times you're on autopilot. You don't even know, I don't even know, we don't even know. We just react to, oh, not again. And we just react in a negative way. Instead of saying, Father God, I thank you, you're in control and you got this covered. I'm not going to get stressed out. I'm not going to get anxious for anything. I'm going to praise you all the way through to the other side. That's faith. That's a lifestyle. That takes work. You create those habits when stuff happens because the situation isn't settled. And you're either tipping the scales one way or tipping the scales the other. God wants you to win. God wants to turn your story upside down. So don't help the devil by speaking negativity over that thing. Use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and speak it, say it, prophesy it, declare it, proclaim it. Well, I tried that once. We're talking lifestyle. This is just who we are. This is embedded in our Christian DNA. Unfortunately, most of us don't have the benefit of at 3 years old, you had parents and grandparents sowing faith into your life. And you were 3 and you're 4 and you're 5 and you're 6 and you're 7, 8, 9, 10, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. And all of that time, there was this positive spiritual momentum being sown in your life. If you didn't have the benefit of that, it's not too late. You can turn it around. Starting right now, Father, forgive me for every idle word that's been spewing out of my mouth. I make a decision, a quality decision right now to change my words so I can change my life. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Now, here this blows my mind. The Hebrew word for tongue is lashon. We're talking about lashon hara, the evil tongue, the evil speech. But amazingly, this Hebrew word lashon is also a word that refers to the balancing bar at the top of the scale. It's that mechanism that tilts the scale one way or the other, one direction or the other. And God's showing us something here. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Your tongue clarifies, or you put your thumb, your tongue on the scale in the direction you want things to go. Things aren't settled. And you can create alternate endings. The world says it's going to end this way. God's promise says it's going to end another way. Which way are you going to help tip the scales? Are you going to come into agreement with what the world says, what the evil report says, or are you going to come into agreement with the Word of God? Who chooses the Word of God? Come on. Man, that's some power. An authority that's been delegated to you and I. Amen? Amen? And in reality, if we don't get this right, if we don't get this worked out, we're in sin. We're in sin. Jesus said so. Look at Matthew 12. In Matthew 12:36... Jesus says, you can be sure that on judgment day, you will have to give an account of every useless word you've spoken. Yikes. Mercy. Mercy, Lord. I'm just going to say right now, Lord, forgive me of every idle word I've spoken. And look at verse 37. Your words will be used to judge you, to declare you either innocent or guilty. Yeah, powerful stuff, isn't it? That's why scriptures like Psalm 141:3 says, set a guard over your mouth, or duct tape. Bring out the duct tape, ushers. Free duct tape today. Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. Proverbs 4:20. Son, daughter, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Don't let them out of your sight. Never stop thinking about them. These words are the secret of life and health to all who discover them. Who needs more life? Who needs more health? The words are the secret. That's why your confessions of faith or lack thereof affect your destiny. Well, no one ever taught me about positive affirmations and positive confessions. I just thought it was all that blab it and grab it stuff. No, they're divine principles from the Bible. You're seeing that. And one of our goals as pastors is to get you on the right side of using words. Positive words. Positive words will lead to positive faith. You can have positive faith or negative faith. And we need to stir ourselves up to declare and proclaim the goodness of God over our lives. Amen. The healing of God over our lives. The peace of God. The prosperity of God. The joy of God. The health of God. All of these things. It's a full-time job of declaring and praying and professing. Amen. Let me skip down. We got to wrap this up. Go with me to Hebrews 3. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren and sistren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Notice that word, profession. Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him that appointed him, also as Moses, was faithful in all his house. But it's saying here that Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our profession. What are you professing? What are you declaring? What are you prophesying? What are you preaching over your life and over your destiny, over your family, over your circumstances? In ancient wisdom, it means to say the same thing. We need to learn to say the same thing that the high priest and apostle of our profession is saying. We're responsible to say the same thing Jesus is saying. Amen. And then he's responsible to bring it to pass. Jesus can't bring to pass in our lives things that we're expressing in doubt and unbelief. He can't bring to pass in our lives negative things that we're complaining and murmuring and criticizing about. That's what the devil does. The devil takes advantage of all of that negative speech, and he uses that to create circumstances that we really don't want in our lives. But when we learn to line ourselves up with the Word of God, when we learn more than just John 3:16, I know more than one scripture than John 3:16, And we begin to know God's word for every circumstance in our lives. And we begin to speak those things. It becomes our profession, our confession of faith that, Father, I thank you by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I thank you, Lord, that it's your good pleasure to give me the kingdom. I thank you, you've made me more than a conqueror. I thank you, Lord, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I thank you, Lord, all things work together for good. I thank you, I can do all things through my Messiah who gives me strength. I thank you, Lord, that you have given me the keys of life and death. And Father God, I give you praise that I am a prevailing Christian. That I prevail over every work of the devil. I prevail over every circumstance. I prevail over sin, over sickness, over poverty, and every evil work. Lather, rinse, and repeat 5,000 times. See, what we're teaching at New Beginnings is that proclaiming what God has promised leads to possessing what God has promised. Proclaiming what God has promised leads to possessing what God has promised. Amen. So as we close today, be encouraged. We just learned or relearned, we're reminded that our words have creative power. That we live as Christians in a word-activated system. In the kingdom of heaven, everything is word activated. The sower sows the word, Jesus said. And so when we choose our words wisely, when we say what the apostle and high priest of our confession says, we change our words, we change our life. Do you receive that this morning? If you do, give the Lord a praise. Thank you for zooming in with us. We love you. God bless you, and God bless Israel.